Well, welcome back, everybody. I know there's a bunch of people still on the road or flying, whatever. Pray for their safe return. But happy fifth Sunday of Lent. I hope your spring break was restful and fun. And of course, it's also St. Patrick's Day, right? Olivia's wearing lime green, right? Just like most of you. I see some necklaces over there that are green, right? So like every American is going around telling everybody today how Irish they are, right? Which is hilarious because I have this story. I was in Krakow, Poland, and I met this Irish girl named Chloe. And she's like, oh, you're American. Oh, all the Americans are like, oh, look at me. I'm Irish. And I was like, but I really am Irish. And she's like, well, you look Irish, don't you? And I was like, yes. I do, right? And then I was like, well, my family's from County Cork. And she's like, Cork, they have a funny accent down there. So that's how the Irish treat their own, I guess. So, but nonetheless, happy St. Patrick's Day. Okay, so we're moving closer and closer to Holy Week, where we celebrate, of course, the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Christ. And what we're seeing in the readings at Mass as the days draw nearer to the crucifixion is that Jesus is pointing people, his disciples, to that holy event, right? He's pointing them. He's showing them, telling them about what's going to happen, right? He's both warning about the event, and then he's teaching his followers of what's to come for many of them, to be honest, and how to sacrifice like he sacrifices, right? Because we know that 11 of the 12 apostles were martyred, so of course Christ is the exemplar for them as they follow him unreservedly. But he's also teaching anyone who would follow him in the history of the world, right? That's why he gave us the scripture. And that doesn't mean we're going to be martyred, but we know as Christians that we have to die to our old life in some way if we're actually going to follow the path that Christ has set before us. We have to die to ourselves, right? So what is essential to actually follow Jesus? What's essential to that movement of heart and that action, that choice in our lives? It's obedience. Obedience, right? Now, I know that word, it takes on like sort of a grave meaning today in the world, especially in the United States, where the way our country was formed was like, oh, England, you want us to pay taxes? No. I'm not going to be obedient to that. Let's throw all their tea into the bay, right? You know, that's the mentality we come from, which I love, right? So, anyway, but not when it comes to Christ, and I'll tell you about that. So, but especially now, this lie about obedience, it persists against the Catholic Church, right? People will say, the church demands obedience so that they can control you, right? And we hear that from progressive circles all the time, right? And we hear it from some of our own Christian brothers and sisters who aren't Catholic. And then, most importantly, we hear it from the depth of our own rebellious hearts, right? But obedience is a clear theme in both Hebrews and the gospel today. Right? He learned obedience from what he suffered. And then Jesus himself says, really pointing towards obedience, what should I say? Save me from this hour? But it is for this purpose that I came to this hour. Right? Christ is teaching us to be obedient to the will of God in our lives, whatever that is. And in this obedience to God, he wants us to be obedient to the church and her teachings. Why? Because this is the church that he has given his own authority. It's not just some random group of people. Christ himself operates as the head. We are the body, That's how the church works. So let's dive into obedience. What it means, how we often respond to the call to obedience as a fallen people, and what a true response to God in obedience looks like. Okay, so I'm gonna go Father Mark on you right now, right? The word obedience comes from the Latin obedire, right? Obedire. And that Latin word has two parts, right? The prefix ob, which means towards, pointing towards, right? And then the root, which is audio, right? Like audiobooks, Bose audio, you know, stuff like that. It means listen, of course, to hear, to listen. So you have ob audire, obedire, obedience. So the infinitive literally means to listen to or to pay attention to. That's what obedience is. So the sense of the word isn't this mindless, servile submission that people think of when they hear the word, but it's listening. It's listening, and not just hearing, brothers and sisters, but a listening that implies an action after having heard. Because is it really listening if we don't act on it? So hearing and acting is what I mean when I say the word listen, right? And in our case, we're listening to God and the church that He Himself established. We're listening to what they're saying to us in our lives. And I'll offer this to you, brothers and sisters, when it comes to listening to the church, which is something that a lot of people resist. When the church asks us to be faithful in the morals that she teaches, maybe, just maybe, it's because the church has wisdom. And maybe that wisdom comes from God, who guides the church at all times, through every age. And also, maybe, just a chance, that the church has watched humanity for 2,000 years and has seen the effects of sin and desires our good. So maybe it's not just about repressing what you want to do. Maybe it's for your heart. When the church says that getting drunk is morally unacceptable, is it because she doesn't want you to have fun? Or is it because drunkenness is actually bad for your body and your soul and opens you to things that are going to hurt you? And when the church says no sex before marriage, is it because we're a bunch of prudes who reject our humanity? Or maybe it's because human sexuality is sacred and dignified in the context of the commitment that God made for it. And outside of that, people get used. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what the church wants. And I could give these examples for days, days on end. So maybe the church in her moral teaching wants to protect you. Maybe the church doesn't want your heart broken. Have we ever thought of that? So maybe, instead of justifying our sins or ripping on the church, maybe we actually should listen to what's being taught and be obedient to that. And what do we do instead of listening, instead of being obedient? I think for the modern Christians, there's really two extremes that we go toward. The first is this. We call ourselves followers of Christ. Maybe we get a tattoo of a cross, or we wear a chain with a Christian symbol on it. And then we go do absolutely whatever we want to do. No regard. So we hear, but we don't act. Brothers and sisters, that is not being obedient to God. That is being obedient to our own desires. We've made ourselves God in that situation, and then, even if not right away, that leads to misery. Because guess what? you're not God, and neither am I. We're fallen men and women who don't know the way to true joy on our own. That's what we are. The second extreme, I think, would be that we actually have a life of faith, right? We pray, we go to Mass, we do what we're asked, but we live in fear of God's call to listen to him, to be obedient to him, right? And in this fear, we actually ask God to remove his own will from our lives. Have you ever thought about that? When we're afraid, we ask God to take away his will for us. And maybe this comes in the moral arena. Remember, St. Augustine said, Lord, give me chastity, but not yet, right? So he doesn't really want it at that point. Or it comes when we understand that we're being called to or away from something. And I know that from experience, right? I knew I was being called to priesthood, but this girl I was dating, I was like, but Lord, she's so pretty. And she smells like flowers, Lord, right? Can't I just marry her, right? I was scared of what God was asking me to do. And I still am in a lot of ways, but that fear led me nowhere except to what I wanted. So it went back to the same place. And Jesus speaks right into this very phenomenon in the gospel. He says, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It's for this purpose that I have come to this hour, Father, to glorify your name. Brothers and sisters, God's will is so much greater than our own. And actually, our happiness is wrapped up in his will, not in what you want. In his will. So God's no to my will is always a perfectly acceptable answer, 100% of the time. So these extremes, they ultimately lead to the same place, right? Back to ourselves, back to our own will. So what's the proper response that we have to make in order to be obedient? The proper response is always, always trust. Always trust. Right? If we actually believe what we claim about God as a loving Father, then we would believe that what he's asking us to do with our lives or how we should live them is always for our good. Always. Because we're his children. But because we're a fallen people, we've lost every bit of trust in God. And that's on us. And this lack of trust is where the justification for our sinful actions flows from. We don't see clearly the true life that God desires to give us, so we don't even listen. We don't even try. We don't take him seriously. And then we fall into this perpetual cycle of sin when God wants something so much better for us. But, brothers and sisters, this isn't to say that trust is easy. That's not what I'm saying. It's not easy to say, Lord, this thing that I've attached my heart to, that I've put all my chips in on, it's not what you want for me. And so I reject it and I choose you. And I choose you not knowing exactly what that will look like. But I believe. How easy is it to do that with all of your heart? It's not. Brothers and sisters, that type of courage is actually incredibly painful because we actually love the things that we're attached to, the things that are not good, the things that don't bring us life. And we have to grieve the loss of those things and cut those attachments. That hurts. That's painful. And the thickest attachment that we have is our own will. To die to ourselves. That's the most painful one. But what does Hebrews say about that? It says that Christ learned obedience from what he suffered. We learn to listen to God, to follow in his footsteps when we suffer a death to our own fallen desires, when we let those things go, when we detach from our old ways and become a new creation in Christ. And for some, they suffer the misery of a life of sin and they hit rock bottom. And that's the suffering that they learn obedience from. But either way, brothers and sisters, know this, that if we suffer this death to ourselves, if we actually die, if we actually choose to follow the Lord unreservedly with the entirety of our being, that he's gonna bring us back to life. He will raise us from the dead. That's what happens when we follow Jesus. And in that resurrection, that is when we walk the path that he has set before us in freedom and in joy. So this whole process, brothers and sisters, is how our lives become an image of the life of Christ. It's in obedience. It's in listening to God and acting on his will that we die. We rise with him. So let's finally start to trust him, to listen to his words. And let's receive those words deeply and integrate them into who we are as people. And then act on them every single day, every moment of our lives. Because it's only if we do that that we can call ourselves true Christians. Yeah, we're going to have to die. We're going to have to die to some things. But remember that obedience to Christ and to his church, it's not a heavy burden, because the yoke of Christ is easy and his burden is light.